Best in Class podcast is on with draft guru Sean Sullivan, taking you around the NFL, looking at the performance of rookies and young players, and of course, a hearty side of the Bucks and their performance in Detroit. Enjoy. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, the home of the Curry family, 65 years serving Tampa. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see everything that's going on right now, sales service-wise. We're going to get started early right now on this Buccaneers-Lions game. I have a lot of content that I want to get in, and I want to make sure that it's still the best 30 minutes in football. For everyone who's listening to this on your way home, the hardworking people of Tampa, the people that make up this town, not the visitors, not the ones that clog the roads, not the ones that clog the restaurants. I'm talking about the real Tamponians, the real people that live here and grow their families here, create amazing businesses here. Those people, I'm talking to those people, because those are the important people. And the people that have been following the Bucs since 1976, like myself, very exciting stuff. So, Bucs Lions, listen, we knew it was going to be a buzzsaw, right? We knew it was going to be this way. We knew that Dan was going to have this team ready to go. They were coming off a loss where it was stolen by the NFL. I mean, and I can say that. I'm not saying alleged. Watch the play. It was stolen. So, they came very angry. They do not lose on Monday Night Football at home. Baker has a very bad record on Monday Night Football. There's just a lot of things. Our injuries working against us. The Mike Evans injury in the first quarter. And I'm going to talk about that at length in a few minutes. The Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, breakout game of the year for him, 218 yards of offense and two touchdowns, including an 80-yard run, which was very impressive. Goff didn't really hurt us, but he was very efficient at 20 of 29. Amos St. Brown, we couldn't guard him. Even in zone, he was finding soft places in the zone. When we played man, he beat us man. He's just a terrific player out of USC. But getting back to the 5-2 Bucks, 5-2 Lions, listen, right now we've had two losses, the Eagles, which are the Super Bowl champions, and the Lions, which represented the NFC. So two very, very good teams. We've beat every other team. We have a very important New Orleans Saints game coming this week, which is unbelievably important right now to go in the bye 6-2 to try to get healthy and to have wins inside our division, which is super important. This was a game that I really wish we had played better in. I think we had opportunities to play. Baker had his worst game of the year, 28 of 50 for 228, only 4.6 yards, a throw, a touchdown, and an interception. So not a very good game for Baker. So it started early where we couldn't run the ball. Obviously, we got away from the run. Baker had some balls batted down because the offensive line did not play well. Wirfs did not play well. Barton played terribly at center. And then, of course, it compounded with Heck and Michael Jordan coming back from injury. Just played pretty bad. I mean, I guess pretty bad is the wrong word. Very, very bad. And when they were getting pressure on Baker, it wasn't they were getting to Baker, it's that they were getting into throwing lanes. And when you're not 6'5", like Baker is not, and you have to be super accurate with the ball. You have to throw over the line of scrimmage. They were getting their hands up, and they were really affecting his throws. And then when we actually started blocking better later in the game, after that terrible first half, I think if it's not one of the worst halves of football the Bucs have played in a long time. I mean that was a really bad half of football. Then he started throwing the ball high. Because he was trying to make sure the ball didn't get batted down. He was even throwing, screens and wide receiver screens and running back screens high. Wasn't his normal self, and he missed Amika wide open in the end zone on a slant that would have put us a lot closer. He missed him by a mile throwing the ball. It was almost like he was trying to place the ball instead of just ripping it like he normally does. He was trying to drop it in, and it just wasn't working because he was throwing the ball, again, high to make these adjustments. When you have balls batted down, an experienced offensive coordinator, and we don't have one, and this is not a shot at Grizzard because I think he's been better than advertised. So I'm allowed to critique or make observations on people without saying that they're not good at their job. Okay, my critique on this is not just experience, but Baker should have rolled out. We should have immediately changed in the second half. We should have rolled him out of the pocket. We should have given him free throwing lanes with no defenders in front, let him get back into a groove of accuracy and getting him some confidence. Well, when Mike Evans to start the game, we force the ball to Mike Evans when he plays. You can see how different the offense is with Mike Evans in the game and when he's not in the game. And you're going to go, hey, Sean, don't write me at bestinclass@BillCurry4.com and tell me I don't like Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans, okay? But Mike Evans needs to play inside our offense. Our offense doesn't need to run through Mike Evans. And I know everybody says that, well, Sean, he's the star player. He's the one that the defenses account for. Well, right now they account for Emeka Buka since they doubled him from the start of the football game. All right? Mike Evans is in a different place in his career where we need to stop trying to force the ball on him to get him involved early. It didn't work. It looked clunky. It looked like we took a lot of our smoothness away. Baker just needs to throw to the person that's open. Enough with like trying to script it to Mike Evans at the beginning of a football game. Enough. Whoever's open, throw the ball to them. Some of the scripted plays to start the game really broke up the chemistry between Baker and Tez Johnson and Emeka. And then, of course, he started working with Otten a little bit later in the game. But as you can see, it was an off game. I thought the defense played extremely well, considering the fact that the Detroit Lions score over 30 points a game at home, and we gave up 24 points to the Lions. I felt like special teams was an area of somewhat improvement as well. I want to talk about the officiating for a second. I have it in my notes. I've never been watching a football game where I saw two plays that were called on the field overturned in the same game. And then, of course, Dan Bendino came out yesterday and said that the Cade Otton fourth down catch should not have been overturned. There was not enough evidence to overturn it from New York. So it's nice when they come out and they say, hey, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have overturned this after the game is over. And you don't know what would have happened had Otten gotten that first down. I wasn't happy with the way the offense was getting plays in at that time. It was taking about 23 seconds, maybe 20 seconds to get the plays in. And I know that the crowd was very loud. But in a moment like that, you need to be able to do a quick audible and run a run play up the middle so it can't be reviewed. Those are just things where it looked like the Bucs had no idea that there was a question going on with the spot of the Otten ball. And then we let Dan just talk to the referee on the side until he decided to throw the flag. So he didn't even have to waste a timeout. So I guess there's some stuff there that you can blame the coaching. You can blame I'm blaming the officiating. Should have never happened. Mike Evans, when he broke his collarbone, was wrapped around the neck. The guy was hanging on his back before the ball was even gotten there. That should have been a pass interference. By the way, he had the catch all the way down to the ground and was down and completed the catch. So there was another one where that catch was definitely completed. They took that from us as well. There was a lot of ticky-tacky fouls in that game. I really felt like the NFL was trying to tell the Lions, hey, we're sorry about the stolen game from Kansas City. We're going to help you in this game. And I hate talking like that because we wouldn't have won the game even if the officials had called a fair game, because that's the way it is. I'm not saying we lost the game, but it is frustrating as a football fan to see two plays overturned without any evidence to overturn them. The interception was a joke. The right arm was underneath the ball the entire time. The rule is clear. The tie goes to the offensive player. The fact that they took that and the fact that Caden actually ripped it out of his hand, the idea that he had the ball when it was clear that the defender wrapped his arm around Cade Otton's arm, not the ball, and he was holding his arm all the way down. Well, how is that a catch, Mr. Official? That's not a catch. That's just stolen play, and shame on you for doing that, because everybody in the world knew that was not an interception, and the rule is very, very clear. Running back screens, wide receiver screens, I felt like not just rolling Baker out, but we should have been more involved. Tez Johnson looks like he would have taken some screens up the field. It looked like Rashard, and I say Rashard because there's a gentleman that always gets mad at me for saying that. I should say Rashad. So basically, he doesn't get up the field fast. And by the way, he's a fantastic screener. But when the linebackers are as fast and the safeties are as fast as what I saw with the Lions, that's a game plan where you do some wide receiver screens with Tez and you get him up the field with Emeka as well. But again, The defense played well. And there's one more thing I want to review before we move on to the game and get past it. And we, you know, we play the Saints. That's a big deal. But if you look at the draft, again, with Amika, who's the best player out of the draft and is setting all kinds of records, Benjamin Morrison's now getting playing time. I think he's going. I think he's playing very well. Parrish did had an off game this game, but he's played well for the season. Those picks are great. David Walker, unfortunately, had the injury. We don't get to see him. But then we go back into fifth round with Elijah Roberts. Yes, he missed a tackle on the 80-yard run for Jahmyr Gibbs, but overall has played extremely well. He's getting to the pass. He's pass rushing. He's stopping the running backs behind the line of scrimmage. And then Tez Johnson in the seventh round. I mean, every single player is contributing to this year's 5-2 team, except for a player that's out for the season. So congratulations again to Jason Light. Go Bucks this week against the Saints. Steelers and Bengals. The Bengals won 33-31. What a crazy game. I think I don't want to talk about the game. I'm going to talk about a couple of rookies, but there is a side story here that's really funny. Mike Tomlin was being interviewed, and he was talking about how did the Browns trade Joe Flacco in division to the Bengals? And of course, Joe Flacco is the reason why the Bengals beat the Steelers. He was 31-47 for 342 and three TDs. He was on fire in the game with Jamar Chase. It's just so funny. And then to hear Mike Tomlin talk about it, and then to get beat by the same player that he was saying, am I in a different NFL? Why would the Browns trade Joe Flacco to the Bengals in the same division? It is super rare, I have to admit. It's super rare, but it's the Browns. They do crazy, dumb stuff all the time. They're stupid, right? They do a lot of silly things. So I just, if you guys hadn't seen that interview, please watch the Mike Tomlin interview about Joe Flacco. It's actually pretty entertaining, more entertaining than this football game. Demetrius Knight Jr., the Bengals' second-round pick, he had double-digit tackles again for a second game in a row, which is, this is a guy that was linked to the Bucks in the second or third round when we were trying to get an off-the-ball linebacker. Demetrius Knight has played extremely well for the Bengals. Caleb Johnson, out of Iowa State for the Steelers with third-round pick, finally started splitting carries with Jalen Warren in this game. I think he's going to be worked in more next week, and I think he's eventually going to take over the starting reps. Bengals first-round pick Shamar Stewart, he returned from an ankle injury, finally got a little bit of playing time against the Steelers. He didn't have an impact in the game. I just wanted to let you know that he's back playing, which is really interesting. Moving on to the Rams-Jaguars. Rams blew the Jaguars out in London, 35-7. Trevor Lawrence really struggled in this game. Travis Hunter, the two-way player, is fantastic. Had his best game as a wide receiver, 8-for-101 and a TD. He played both sides of the ball. He was nominated for NFL Rookie of the Week for his performance. The Jaguars, I think, found somebody really special in Travis Hunter. Terrence Ferguson from the Rams, he was a rookie tight end. He caught his first touchdown, a 31-yard touchdown in this. And Mumfield for the Rams, a rookie wide receiver, caught his first touchdown as well. So that was really interesting watching Liam Cohen with the Jaguars, where he was really, his offense was really humming in the last 2 weeks. It's like, I don't know if the NFL has found some things out or Trevor Lawrence is just making some bonehead plays, like running past the line of scrimmage when he's throwing the ball. He did it last week. He did it again this week. I've never seen quarterbacks run past the line of scrimmage and throw the ball or not understand the game clock, but that's what we saw with Trevor Lawrence, so it was really interesting. Bears and Saints against the terrible Saints. The Bears won 26-14. Game wasn't really close. The Bears were able to dominate with a run game early on. Swift, 19 carries, 124 yards and a TD. Kyle Monange, the seventh-round pick, had the best game of his career at 6.2 yards a carry, also had a touchdown in the game. So that was really interesting to watch the Bears' run game just really dominate. Caleb Williams didn't have to really have a good game. He had just a mediocre game in this. Didn't really throw for a touchdown, but completed some important passes. But it really wasn't necessary. The Bears' defense really kept the Saints in check. And the most interesting thing is just the run game of the Bears all of a sudden looking like the Detroit Lions' running game. Between Montgomery and Swift, they're just running all over the last 2 weeks. Quincy Riley, the fourth-round pick of the Saints, had an interception in the game. Browns and Dolphins, the Browns 31-6 over the Dolphins. Dylan Gabriel, their third-round draft pick out of Oregon, 13 of 18 for 116. Not impressive at all in this game. Judkins out of Ohio State, the running back, had 25 carries for 84 yards and three touchdowns. So congratulations to him. He's just putting on a show right now for the Browns. The Dolphins rookie class with Kenneth Grant out of Michigan had 5 tackles and 1 tackle for loss in the game. Offensive lineman Jonah, I never know how to pronounce his name, so Savania, had a key block on several plays. And then Quinn Evers out of Texas made his debut, NFL debut, completing 5 of 8 passes for 53 yards after Tua got hurt. So very, very interesting. I don't know what to think of Dylan Gabriel yet. I thought he throws a couple of good balls, and then he just looks terrible for the rest of the game. It's very interesting. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to get a shot here soon. Patriots and Titans. Pats blew the Titans out 31-13. Cam Ward, who was number one pick, 25 of 34, 255 for the Titans and a TD. I don't think he played terrible. Chimiri DK for the Titans. Out of the Florida Gators, caught all 4 of his targets, including a 38-yard touchdown. He's also returning kicks and punts. He's been a real good pickup for the Titans. You can see how the Gators used him wrong under Napier because he's much more talented than what I've seen. Will Campbell, the first-round draft pick of the Patriots, is doing very, very well. He did give up a sack in this game, but he's been a plug-and-play guy from the start. Trevon Henderson, the other Ohio State running back, has not been as advertised right now for the Pats. He had a terrific preseason, but so far, 7 weeks in, he hasn't really shown himself to be a really solid NFL player, but I'm hoping he gets some more playing time. Raiders and Chiefs. Raiders put the egg on, right, for 4 quarters. Chiefs won 31-0. Ashton Gente, the Raiders, was a bright spot. He's really playing well for the Raiders. He scored his 4th touchdown of the season, so congratulations to him. Jalen Royals for the Chiefs, a 7th-round pick. Caught a touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes. I think Royals has been a guy that early on was going to be a 3rd or 4th round draft pick and kind of fell to the 7th round, which is surprising with the amount of amazing college tape that he put up. But again, there's a lot more that goes into it, and I feel like the Chiefs continue to find these wide receivers for Patrick Mahomes, who had 3 touchdowns in the game. So there you go. Eagles and Vikings. The Eagles 5-2, won 28-22. Jihad Campbell, their first-round pick of the Eagles, he's just been an incredible this season for them, had another terrific game. Andrew Mukuba, if you listen to Best in Class, he was one of my favorite safeties in the entire draft. Out of Texas, was drafted by the Eagles again, is playing well for them. Donovan Jackson from the Vikings, their first-round pick, had his 4th start of the season, coming out of wrist surgery. Very tough player. I think you're going to see him to be a very good player in the NFL for a long time. And J.J. McCarthy, last year's first-round draft pick, still didn't play in this game and still recovering from an ankle injury, which he suffered in the 2nd game of the season. Panthers-Jets, this was a terrible football game to watch. The Panthers won 13-6. It's not a soccer score or a baseball score. It's a football score. Bryce Young, the number one overall pick a couple of years ago, 15-25, 138 in the TD. Really rough. Dowdle, that came from Dallas, was 5 years in Dallas, had 17 carries, 79 yards. And last year's first-round draft pick, Xavier Leggett, had 9 receptions for 92 yards and a touchdown. This was his best game, I think, as a pro. T-Mac, the Panthers, number one, 8 overall pick this year. Very quiet game, only had 33 yards. Azari Thomas out of Florida State had an appearance, 3rd-round pick. He played in place of Sauce Gardner. He had 2 pass breakups, and you can see that he's really versatile as a defensive back. So that's nice to see a Florida State boy. Nick Scorton for the Panthers. He started in this game. He had 1.5 sacks, a team-high 6 pressures. Here's a guy that was extremely impressive as a pass rusher in college. He's just now getting some playing time for the Panthers. It's the guy to keep an eye on. Very interesting. Giants and Broncos, this was the best game of the week. The Broncos scored 33 points in the 4th quarter to win. They beat the darling Jackson Dart, who was 15 of 33, 283, and 3 touchdowns, and another rushing touchdown. He had 4 total touchdowns. Jackson Dart has been unbelievable for the New York Giants. He's a franchise quarterback. The Giants are so lucky to have him. And then they paired him with my favorite running back. If you go back and listen, I kept talking about Cam Scadaboo, and he has been everything as advertised. He's just fantastic. He had another touchdown in this game receiving. Those two guys are going to really help the Giants. Abdul Carter, the Giants' first-round draft pick this year, has been unbelievable at pressuring the quarterback. He hasn't finished yet. He's not going to be a 10-sack guy. Maybe he would, but I don't see him getting 10 sacks this year. But I will tell you that Abdul Carter has been as advertised as a rookie as getting to the quarterback and getting playing in the backfield. Bo Nix, last year's first-round draft pick, played his tail off. Two rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns, and brought them back in the fourth quarter. He is he's special. I think Peyton knows that. Jahde Barron out of Texas and R.J. Harvey out of UCF, two picks of the Broncos. They actually contributed heavily in this game. I'm really happy for R.J. Harvey, a guy that I thought was a sleeper, is starting to get some national recognition. Colts Chargers. Colts won 38-24 on the Daniel Jones comeback tour. The guy was unbelievable in this game. Again, Tyler Warren, the Colts' first-round draft pick, is having an amazing season. He had his third touchdown in three games. The guy's just unbelievable. If you're not watching him play, you're missing out. Aronde Gadsden for the Chargers' fifth-round pick had 100 yards receiving in the game. Omarion Hampton, the Chargers' first-round running back, was out with an ankle injury, and the Chargers got blown out of this game by a very, very, very good Colts team. The team formerly known as the Redskins got blown out by the Cowboys 44-22. Dak Prescott, Javonte Williams, CeeDee Lamb all were stars for the Cowboys, who have now moved back to 3-3. Tyler Booker, their first-round draft pick, has been solid since he returned to the lineup. Eziri Ruku, pass rusher out of Boston College, had an impressive outing. He had a sack and two tackles for loss. Jalen Lane, the team formerly known as the Redskins rookie wide receiver, had a career-high 60 yards and scored a touchdown. And Shamar James back to the Cowboys. Shamar James out of Florida had a forced fumble that actually turned the game around early against Jaden Daniels, who was injured in the game with an ankle injury. Packers-Cardinals. Packers won 27-23. Matthew Golden, the golden child out of Texas, he's been a key part to their offense. He caught all four of his targets. He didn't have the big yardage that he was been getting, but he's just a guy that's catching on third down, converting third downs, and he's really playing into that offense. I think you're going to see him really grow and become a star for the Packers. Really interesting in this. And then Trey McBride, a guy that kind of gets lost for Arizona, who led the NFL, I think, in receptions last year, had 10 in this game for 74 and two TDs. He's just a very underrated tight end. No one talks about Trey McBride, but all he does is put up massive numbers. Falcons, 49ers. 49ers won this game 20-10. They moved to 5-2. Michael Penix Jr., last year's first-round draft pick, 28-38. 21 of 38, 241 and a TD. McCaffrey really dominated this game for the 49ers. Mikel Williams, the 49ers first-round draft pick, got some pressure on Michael Penix during the game. Alfred Collins, a second-round draft pick, was a run stopper out of Texas, had a fumble recovery and some tackles for loss in this game. Xavier Watts, an amazing third-round pick of the Falcons at safety, was second leading tackler in the game. James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, another pass rusher the Falcons drafted, played extremely well in the game. Last week he had a sack and a half, and I think their first round pick, Jalen Walker, missed this game for injury. Connor Colby, the seventh round offensive lineman for the 49ers, started in the second half of this game, so he got some playing time. But again, the Falcons have some interesting players, and so did the 49ers as far as rookies. Texans, Seahawks, and the Sea Chickens. Sea Chickens won this game 27-19. Jalen Noel, the Texans' third-round pick out of Iowa State, posted a career-high 77 receiving yards. Here's a guy that's, to me, very exciting as a kick returner, punt returner, and now they're working him in as a receiver. I think he's going to be a household name because he has that speed and quickness. They just need to get him the ball. Woody Marks out of USC, a fourth-round draft pick, has been carrying the load for them, basically splitting with Chubb carries, but he's actually getting several screens, so they're using him a lot in the screen game. Nick Imoori, the amazing safety for the Seahawks. He was a second-round pick, played the majority of the defensive snaps, and had an amazing performance with two pass defense from the safety position and several tackles, and plays the run like a linebacker. Gray Zabel, plug-and-play rookie guard, has just been incredible for the Sea Chickens. And then Elijah Arojo, out of the University of Miami, who was an amazing tight end. I really liked meeting him at the Combine. He had a 27-yard reception in this game, and Torrey Holton out of Colorado State got in the game as well for the Sea Chickens. But Elijah Arojo, they're working him into the game. And by the way, Cam Ward, you know, the number one overall pick out of the University of Miami, said that he was his absolute favorite target and that he is a stud. And I think you're going to see more and more and more of him moving forward. Well, that concludes this week's Best in Class. We have an amazing game, a division game coming up with the Bucks against the Saints this week. I hope we blow them out, and I hope that we sit everybody we're going to sit going into the bye week. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at bestinclass@billcurry4.com. Please leave me reviews at Apple and Podbeam and on Joe Bucks Fan. I'd really appreciate it. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all of the social media sites, and visit billcurry4.com and see all of our amazing specials, everything that we have going on right now for first first responders and for our military personnel. We're doubling the rebates and incentives, not to mention giving $10,000 over Kelly Blue Book, an up to amount. Plus, we're scheduling free mobility and pickup and delivery at no charge to our guests. So we have a lot going on. I'll see you guys next week. It's going to be a great weekend of football.